Last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the miraculous birth of John and his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we've been talking the next week about the birth of Jesus, which is miraculous, right? So we talked about these two births, and we really left it more with their parents. We left it with them being infants. We didn't really go into their lives and what they've done. But what happened 2,000 plus years ago is still impacting us right now this morning, right? What happened 2,000 years ago impacts us right now. That's why you're here in Whitewater. That's why you're sitting in these seats. Maybe some of you came for the free donuts and coffee. Could be. That's why I'm here. But what happened 2,000 plus years ago from these two men, and there's more people involved in this story, don't get me wrong, but 2,000 plus years ago, two men changed the entire course of history. Changed our lives today, for any of you that claim Jesus today, for any of you that has said yes to living for Jesus today, your life has been changed by what happened through two men and a whole host of other people included in that. And it's amazing to me that two men in history can change anything and have such a prominent standing even today. Darby Wilson, who used to be on worship team here and a good friend of mine, he worked at Hastings. And I was talking to him about their Bible selection, and it was always kind of weird because it didn't really seem like they had that great of stuff. And he said, you want to know what the highest stolen book is in Hastings? And I said, what is it? He said, the Bible. I said, well, that's weird. And he said, you want to know what the highest stolen book is, rated stolen book is in the nation? It's the Bible. People steal this thing, which I love. That's just anarchy, yeah. I'm not advocating stealing anything, all right? But this message, 2,000 plus years ago, these two men that changed the world, John and Jesus, it's still very relevant today. People are still hungry for it. People are still after it. People are still wanting to know what it is. And that message from what John the Baptist had spoke, he was the light. He was once sent from God to talk about the light. That's how Scripture talks about it. Let me read it. It's in John. We just got done out of a series in John, and we're going right back into it. We're going to teach it again because I didn't do a good enough job. John 1, 6 through 8 says this, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he only came as a witness to the light. So, John, as we heard that he was born before Jesus, John's mission since his birth was to just speak, hey, look, there's a guy that's going to come and he's going to change your world. There's a guy that's going to come and he's going to save your world. There's a guy that's going to come and he's going to put you in right standing, in right being with God, with himself. That was John's main job. And then Jesus comes onto the scene and he says, hey, here I am. And John is sitting there and he said, look, there's Jesus. That's him. And then you skip to John 12:44, and Jesus says this, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. He's talking about God. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, I came to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father, he's speaking of God again, who sent me, has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." So you have this life of John who is completely obedient to what was asked of him, completely obedient to the reason as to which he was born, to just speak about the light. John's not the light. He spoke about the light. That's all he did. He pointed people to it. You have Jesus who hits the scene that says, "I am the light, but not only am I the light, I'm actually God here to make things right between you and myself." And then as we see later in Jesus' life, he dies. He is the sacrifice for us. And not only does he die, but he comes back. He raises again. And this message that has been 2,000 years old, is as relevant today as it was then. So what? What does that mean for you today? What does that mean? That's great news, isn't it? You guys are super quiet. That's incredible news, but I often read the Bible and I often like to remove myself from the story and just read it as a story, and I'm like, oh, that's great for them. That's cool for them. And then as I start reading it more, I start like identifying with characters within Scripture that these people, these men, these women who have lived these lives are real men and women who had real lives, real struggles, real issues. They had the same choice of obedience as I have. And so as I start thinking in that mindset, I start reading the story with different thoughts, with different eyes. My grandfather, interesting thing, my grandfather was a very young child, and he went to church. And my grandfather was very, very poor. In fact, he died very, very poor. And he was very, very poor when he was just this young kid, and someone had invited him to go to church with him to hear about the light. And my grandfather goes to this church, and he had decided, I'm going to wear my best clothes. Which I don't think we have an issue with that here at Whitewater, but back in that mentality, you know, that day, that was the mentality. You gotta dress up, you gotta look good for Jesus. He might be there. Hey man, nice kicks. Thanks, Jesus. Yeah. So my grandfather goes to this church as this young child and he puts on his best that he had, and keep in mind he's very poor. And he goes to this church and he found out that his best wasn't good enough. He didn't make the cut when it came to how he looked and his appearance and what he wore that Sunday, which was his best attempt at trying to look good for where he was going. And so he was pulled aside by folks. He was given a good stern talking to about, hey man, you gotta look better than that. All he wanted to do is hear about the light. So that from that time on, from this little dude going to church wearing a Sunday best, he hated the church. Hated it. Didn't want anything to do with it. In his teens, he was very attracted to the Communist Party. And if you know about the Communist Party, and especially back in my grandfather's day, that was not an attractive time to be interested in the Communist Party. That was a terrible time. With the Holocaust, all that stuff going on. But it appealed to him because communism appeals to the poor. What they had to say about how he should live and how his life should be was more appealing than this light that he was trying to hear about within this church that he just got blasted from going to. Incredible. Incredible. Later in his life, he meets a woman who I always assumed was my grandmother, and I found out this week from my dad that that was not the case. It was just some girl that he liked. And he said, "Hey, baby, I don't know if that's what he said. Probably not. It was the 50s. Doll? What did they use in the 50s? Kitten? I don't know. Kitten? Kitten works? Chantel says kitten's good. Keep going. Yes. Do you have some place to be? You're like, just, let's get this over with. No more announcements. Just keep going. So he has this interest that he really has got his eye on. He said, hey, baby, I want to take you out on a date. And this woman said, no, I can't. I've got a revival to go to. And my grandfather, this hater of the church, apparently that hate paled in comparison when it came to a woman. She must have been fine. And he said, yeah, I'll go with you to that. Well, if you don't know anything about old school revivals, they last 4 weeks. Yeah. And it's like hours and hours of somebody yelling at you. And so he goes for this woman. And then he ends up going back again. Going back again. Going back again. And all of a sudden, he's hearing something different than he's ever heard before. He's hearing about this light. He's hearing this message, and it starts to change him from within, and it starts to change him to where he doesn't know what's going on. And what's funny is this: nothing ever happened with this woman at all. He ends up marrying another woman who was my grandmother. But nothing ever happened with this woman, but he hears about the light, and he then gives his life to Jesus. And it was beautiful. Because that's where my roots come from. My roots come from this man saying yes to Jesus. My roots come from him living out this light within his life in a real beautiful way that all of his children then see the light, hear about the light, know the light, know the light to be true, because it wasn't this terrible relationship he had with him. He lived this stuff out. So by the time it hits my dad's ears and he begins to know about the light and experience the light and hear about the light, he starts to live it out. He starts to live out this 2,000-year-old message. He starts to live out this thing that was sparked by John and by Jesus. And then as a result, he lives it out in a very real way that I get to watch, that I never... My parents were very cautious and never forced any kind of an agenda with us when it came to Jesus or spiritual world stuff at all. Nothing. They let us experience the light through their love. They let us experience the light through who they were and how Jesus changed them. And that spoke truth to me. So then that infects me. This 2,000-year-old message, this 2,000-year-old thing that happened affects me in 1991 as I heard about the light and I said, yes, that is true. And Jesus, I want to be a part of that. That message, that 2,000-year-old message, has affected my wife who heard about the light. That message has affected my children who have heard about the light. Yesterday, I made us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And as I'm making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I'm going back and forth between the kitchen and my living room, because my sons were playing a game, and one of them was just very angry because the other one was beating them so badly at this game. And so the anger started creeping out. The anger started working its way up. The anger just started taking control. And I'm putting peanut butter on a slice of bread, and then I got to go out there and blah, 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 blah. Knock it off. And he said, Dad, I just want to stop playing. I said, no, not if this is how you're going to act. You're going to learn to be a loser. You're going to learn to be a good loser. And then I go back to putting jelly on the other side of the bread. Listening. Cheetos, I'm shaking them out in anger. This is ridiculous that they're having this. So then it ends at noon. I said, you know, the TV, the games go off at noon, and then there's no more games for the rest of the day. We're just going to hang out. We're going to play cards, play Monopoly. They love Monopoly for some reason. And we sit down at lunch, and I honestly don't know how any of this happened. Thad's mom asked me, I don't know. Sherry asked me, I don't know. Thad asked me, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to pinpoint this. But we started having this beautiful conversation about the light. Now, just a week prior, last week after this service, my wife and I went home and we started war for the next 3 or 4 days with each other. Married couples, you know how that is, right? No? No, we would never do that, Adam. My wife and I are good at doing cold war, meaning we have this argument and then we don't speak to one another, nor look at each other, which is funny when you live in the same house. It's ridiculous. So we have this fight, but it was a fight right in front of our children, right in front of them. And then we come back for round two, ding, and then we go fight again. And then we go back to our own ways of not looking at it. And I'm not saying this is a healthy way of having a relationship with your spouse by any means. What I'm saying is this is stuff that we're trying to work on. So we have this fight literally a week ago is when it started. And I start telling them about the light, and I start talking to them about the light, and I start talking to them about my failures as a husband, which is interesting to have with your 8-year-old and your 12-year-old son, and how the light does not take away that selfishness, how the light does not just take away this instant, it's still there within me at times, and it creeps out. But what the light does do is it speaks into that situation. And I told them about the light speaking into the situation with myself when I was fighting with their mother. And I said, all the while, the light's sitting there telling me, hey, stop. You're not doing well in this. Just stop. Just leave it be. Just listen to me. Listen to how I'm asking you to be and how I'm asking you to respond. And then I go on to say, and I just blew through that voice. I didn't listen to it. And I didn't do well here. And I don't do well when I parent you guys sometimes. But this beauty, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that He continues, this light continues to refine me. This led into another conversation about, tell me about the light within you. Tell me about the light. Tell me about what your experience with the light is. And we start talking. And I said, if that's true then, boys, what's the next step for you? And this is crazy. I mean, I don't even understand how this happened other than Holy Spirit. And they start telling me, God, you know, I need to have Jesus. I need to tell Jesus I'm going to live for Him. Okay, then what? Then you know, Scripture says be baptized, and that's what I'll do. And I'm just sitting there as a parent, like, this was over an argument prior. And I said, if that's the case, then when? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's let Jesus know our intentions. Let's let Jesus know that, yeah, you've sinned in your anger. I've sinned in my anger. In your lying, I've sinned in my lying. And we pray. And my son Zero just says, well, I want to be baptized tomorrow. This kid just dives into anything. Literally, the baptistry. He's probably dove into it 3 times this morning already. And my oldest son, it's hard for him because I said, no, how about you? And he's like, I don't know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I said, well, what do you mean you'll talk about it tomorrow? Like what? He said, I just don't know. And he'd given his life to Jesus. God, it's yours to do with what you will. Bring your kingdom through me is what we prayed. And I said, well, what is it, son? What is it? And he said, I'm just nervous. I just don't like people. I said, I don't either. No, I'm just kidding. I said, I get that. You realize you don't have to be baptized in front of anybody, but if you choose to, know that this speaks to people. Know that your decision teaches people. And literally it came down to my son saying, you know what? I don't necessarily like it, But God asked me to be obedient. Now, I wasn't asking him to be obedient to this. God asked me to be obedient to it, so I'm going to do this. And so, if you've seen the horse tank out there, I get myself and my wife, we get to baptize our boys this morning. They've made this decision to follow the light, to speak about the light, to have people understand about the light. This message, this weird message that happened 2,000 plus years ago by these men that were born under miraculous circumstances is still very relevant today and is still changing lives today. And so as I place myself in this story, I just usually on Facebook I post that I'm here at Whitewater and I post something from the teaching. And what I did is I took John's message and I said this: there was a man sent from God whose name was Adam Koop. Yeah, he laughed. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. I'm not the light. My job is just to point to the light. I went back and I started watching some of our videos of testimonies of people whose lives have been changed. And I watched Julia Cooper. She was a dancer here. She was taller than I was. Incredible. She was a dancer here, and she bumped into one of our people here whose name is Rianne. Right? Is that your name? Thank you. And in this video, she's speaking of Rianne. She's speaking, I came to college here. I didn't want to come to college here. This is my, you know, fourth choice, second choice, whatever. And I didn't want to be here. And then I ended up getting this roommate. Her name was Rianne. And all Rianne did was invite me with her to come to this church that I've never really been in churches before. I went to a Unitarian church before, and I didn't really care to go to church, and so I always told her no. But all she did was continue to love me, even though I didn't get down with what she was doing. And she kept inviting me. She never stopped inviting me. And then one day I decided to go. And I thought this was cool. And then I just continued to watch Rianne's life, and she just continued to talk about the light. And I saw the light. I saw the love, she said, not the judgment that I had always associated with Christianity. I saw the love through Rianne. That's this 2,000-year-old message being very relevant today, being brought by you. Being brought by me. There was a man sent from God whose name was Caleb. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. There was a woman named Katie who came to do the same thing. There's a woman named Lexi. There's a man named Gustav. You see where this is going? This is our job, people. This is this message that these two men, John and Jesus, changed the entire course of history, changed the entire way in how we live. And it's our job now to carry that torch on. When I said there was a man sent from God and his name was Adam Koop, you chuckle, and I get it, because I continue to say, if we are God's plan for humanity, that's sad. But it's so true, because this light lives within us. This light lives within us and is carried forth through the Holy Spirit that makes us who we can't make ourselves. That makes us lovers of people where we can't love people. That gives us eyes to see people as one who is meant to house the fullness of God. My eyes don't see that in people. God's eyes see that in people. That's our mission. That's our life here in this community, here at your workplace. Wherever you go, you carry this light. You carry this message. You carry this love. You carry this forgiveness, this grace, this mercy, this new way. And that is the Christmas story. right after this, we're going to just walk out these doors, and I would ask you guys to be a part of the baptisms that's going on. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing we get to witness as a community and do together. But more so, I know the challenges that they're going to face as they've accepted Jesus, as they've taken this Jesus life and said, this is it for me. And I never sugarcoated it for my boys. And I know the challenges that I faced from 1991 until now when I said yes to Jesus, of this undoing of how I've made myself all these years. I know the challenges that they face, and it's a little bit terrifying for me as a parent, and a little bit encouraging. We were walking around the store after we had this conversation yesterday, and I just kept looking at them, and I thought, man, they have Jesus within them. And it was just this difference in them as them and as this way in which I viewed them. We are on this plane now that we weren't before. And it's beautiful. Never stop speaking about the light. Never stop bringing the light, because it changes lives. It changes lives to bring the kingdom here as it is in heaven. God, we love you and we thank you for who you are and how you make us, and who we become in the process of just listening to you, hearing from you, being with you, being in relationship with you. God, thank you for Jesus and his willingness to be obedient to who you said he was, his willingness to be obedient to the message and only speak what you told him to speak. God, may you give us that same desire to speak what only you speak first. God, may our message be that of the light and nothing else. May our message never be hate-filled. May it never be anything but redemption. May it never be anything but grace and mercy and love. As Jesus said, he came to save the world. May that be our message today. God, thank you for all the people here that do take that seriously, that do take this light and this message about the light to everybody they come in contact with. Whether it just be through loving them, regardless of where they're at or regardless of how they are, or whether it be a conversation around a dinner table like what I had yesterday, God, may those be the things that are important to us. God, grow our love for you, that our obedience just becomes a natural thing. God, we love you. Thank you for who you are and how you love us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.